If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hej och välkomna till Denke och Berns. Idag är det bara jag, Berns, på plats. Vi ska idag ta en djupdykning i klockmarknaden för att se och försöka förstå vad som har hänt. Det har rört sig väldigt mycket här det senaste halvåret och vi ska ta lite experthjälp från ett antal olika podcastsändningar. Den första podcasten vi ska lyssna på är Significant Watches, där vi har fyra personer som är med. Det är Charlie Dunn, Eric Wind som är Wind Vintage, som säljer väldigt mycket vintageklockor. Vi har en samlare som heter Gabriel Benador och sen så har vi Tony från Rayscapement. De fyra funderar lite grann omkring vad som har hänt här och vi ska ta och lyssna på lite valda delar ur deras diskussioner. Vi börjar med att lyssna på Eric Wind och hans syn på vad som har hänt det senaste halvåret.
You know, let's get real about the watch market. A lot of these hype watches, you know, which I've provided a cautionary tale, I would say, for some time about hype, that hype is just hype and not exactly substance. But a lot of these pieces are down significantly the last 6 months, since kind of January, February was the peak. Some of these watches down over 50% value. It, you know, 5711s are kind of low 100s now after being 200 at the peak with a blue dial. Some of the Tiffany stuff, as we said in episode 18, is down maybe 50% in 6 months as well. So it is, you know, it's not a good situation for many modern watch dealers because they own inventory way too high. It, like I said, in some cases, the 2x, the actual value. And I was just hearing from someone who knew another gentleman who was getting involved in the watch market. He took out a $10 million line of credit to buy watches, bought a lot of APs in the 500K range that are worth like 300 now. Open work, ceramics, etc. And he is obviously not going to be doing well. So he's got to pay his line of credit. So that's also the case, I think, with some of the bigger players in the watch market. We're going to see a lot shake out the next couple months. But
ja, han beskriver alltså hur många handlare sitter på ett lager som har köpt in dyrare än vad de kan sälja för just nu. Och det kan få fler handlare att gå omkull. Erik fortsätter sen att fundera omkring hur beteendet har varit jämfört med det man försöker hitta hos en flickvän eller en fru när han spekulerar lite grann. Vi lyssnar in.
I joked with Logan that like the vintage watch market is like the, you know, like the great, like steady girlfriend people were chasing the IG model, IG babe, but then realized she's not exactly wife material. And better to find someone who's like steady and going to be a good mother to your children and all those sorts of things. So I think that's been the vintage watch market. It's been kind of increasing at a steady clip the last 2 years, but not nearly the sort of 4x run up we saw on some of these hype pieces in less than 2 years, and now back down. So I think, you know, that's kind of what I was saying. I still see huge demand for great vintage watches in great condition. And I don't think that's going anywhere. You know, if you get a really great vintage piece, like the Triple Crown, hopefully amazing condition, good provenance. And then for some people, they really want the box and paper stuff. Then it'll be gone in one text message, is what I tell people.
Det man också får komma ihåg är att just Erik Wind är en av världens största vintagehandlare. Och det är såklart att han pratar mycket i egen sak. Men Gabe kommer in i nästa session här och ställer en fråga om vad det är som driver priserna neråt. Vad det är som gör att den här förändringen har skett. Och det här tycker jag, nu börjar det bli riktigt intressant. Nu börjar man förstå lite grann vad hur den dynamiken är med de här nya klockorna.
Eric, do you feel that you know, as a dealer, that these hype watches are coming down in values because they're just too expensive, there's too many of them, or people are just liquidating them for profit, so there's kind of a flood on the market, given, you know, what's going on with the, you know, global economy? What do you think is the main driving factor for this, for sort of the prices coming down?
I think it's, you know, it's never just one factor. I will say the watch manufacturers are pumping out watches like never before, is my understanding. My understanding, talking to a number of U.S. Rolex retailers, is that May was a record month. Just talking on the Rolex side, Rolex delivered more product than probably any time in their history to retailers in May. You're not going to see this online. You're only hearing it here first on Significant Watches. But all these Rolex retailers had record months because they got delivered a ton of product, which obviously then erodes secondary market prices because there's a lot more out there. Second, Rolex also told retailers who in many cases were not selling watches and just keeping them in the safe that they better unload their kind of backlog of stuff they were hiding from clients. So they said they don't like that practice. I've met a lot of retailers that were doing that. I don't know exactly why. Sometimes they would use it to entice someone to buy jewelry. If you buy this, you know, 500K diamond, we'll sell you a steel Daytona kind of thing at retail. Definitely that was happening, which Rolex doesn't want to see. Second, you know, waiting for a VIP to come in that they could sell something to, or just waiting for inevitable price increases because they could charge more. I've also heard of retailers just buying the watches for themselves, essentially swiping the credit card and then keeping it in the safe for a while, for a year or two. They can sell it then on the secondary market. Or to a VIP or whatever they want to do with it. And obviously when the watches are worth a fraction of, you know, the retail price is a fraction of what the secondary market value is, you know, it's hard for them to sell someone a meteorite Daytona for 39K that's then was worth like 200K a few months back. So, you know, with the Oyster Flex strap or whatever. So, yeah, all that stuff was happening. I think Rolex realized it and they said, let's just, you got to get the product out and end up waiting people's hands. And they're producing like never before. And I think the same is the case with AP and Patek. I never understood paying these kind of crazy retails for current production watches. I can understand it when it's an out of production piece, but, you know, paying 8x retail for something when Rolex is still making them, it's sort of anathema to my value system. So, you know, if I was buying something to keep like that, I would rather wait or just not have it. But, that's sort of, I think, it in a nutshell. And I think obviously cryptocurrencies come down a lot. There are a lot of crypto bros buying hype watches, part of the whole vibe and scene. Talking about Palm Beach real estate, there's a lot more properties on the market. I think 5 times more properties on the market now than 6 months ago.
Ja, Erik säger alltså att Rolex har pumpat ut mycket fler klockor än de någonsin gjort tidigare ut till sina handlare. Och samtidigt så sätter Rolex lite press på de olika AD:erna runt om i världen att sälja av det här gömda lagret som de har. Och det här visar lite grann på risken med att betala över retail för klockor som fortfarande är i produktion. Att det finns risker, som sagt, att det kommer ut mycket, mycket fler klockor på marknaden, vilket kommer då påverka såklart prisbilden. Slutligen så berör han även att starka köpgrupper som har tjänat pengar på till exempel krypto eller fastigheter har fått se sina tillgångar minska. Och då blir de såklart också mindre köpbenägna på andra tillgångar såsom klockor. Nästa session så får Gabe en fråga. Gabe jobbar ju, eller är ju mera inne på independent och kanske annan typ av klockor än Erik. Och han fick frågan om hur det här påverkar independent-marknaden.
Gabe, Charlie, same question to you guys. I mean, as collectors or buyers of watches, are you behaving any differently than you were, say, 6 months or a year ago?
For me personally, no. I think things are still very, very expensive in sort of my world on that. You know, a lot of the indies are up, you know, still significant before COVID at least. And, you know, the interest is still there and production is relatively limited, especially when you take it into consideration with larger brands. So I don't think the prices in the indie world will come down much, if at all. I mean, I was just looking at DV28, a watch that I've had. They're touching, you know, over 180,000 asking price, which is, you know, unheard of. 3-4 years ago, they were in the 20K range, if you could even get them to move. But I think again, there'll always be buyers for great condition vintage watches, as Eric has said, and you know, I don't need to beat a dead horse on this, but I think it'll be really, that's the place to be. There's great watches on the indie side and on the vintage side, and you know, vintage kind of took a backseat for the last couple of years to modern hype watches. Hopefully we won't pay attention to all the different versions of the RM11 and, you know, all of a sudden a white one is $600,000. None of that anymore. And we can spend reasonable amounts of money and get some good watches and not, you know, lose our shirts on it all the time. But yeah, I mean, I think I would just stay away from the hype in general, because look, I mean, they're trending down and there's a lot of them around. You know, there's no shortage of 15202 AP Royal Oaks. There's no shortage of 5711s. No shortage of RMs right now. So, you know, barring that, people are pretty safe if they wait, you know, a little bit until prices start to trickle down a little bit on some of that. But I think on all the indie stuff and some really good vintage stuff, I don't think it's going to soften too much. So.
Och enligt Gabe så det tillverkas ju en väldigt begränsad upplaga av independent-klockor och de påverkas inte alls i samma utsträckning. Han lyfter även fram att det här gäller både independent och vintersklockor, riktigt bra vintersklockor i fint skick. Det vi kan fundera på då, det är lite grann vad en klocksamlare eller en entusiast ska göra nu. Och vi lyssnar lite grann på Erik och han ger sin bild av hur vi ska bete oss.
what should collectors be looking to do as the sort of economic downturn that we've been talking about takes full effect?
I hate sounding like a broken record, but it's just condition. So I think if you're reviewing your collection and you've got some pieces that are maybe lacking a bit on that front, then, you know, I've heard people say, well, maybe I should wait to sell them. My opinion is, why wait if the watch is not wonderful? It's worth, you know, looking at selling. I don't, you know, also if you have a portfolio of hype pieces, like someone asked me about an RM recently, if they should sell it. I said, do you think it's honestly going to be worth more 6 months from now than it is now? Like, sure, it's worth less than it was 6 months ago, but they're going to be some like boomerang and it's going to be back where it was. Like, I don't really see that. So I think now there's no time like the present. Is what I told him. That's why they call it the present, because it's a gift. But I think, you know, you've got to look at just selling some of the stuff. You know, it's the other Windism, the passion versus investment ratio. You know, there's watches that I'm very passionate about, but I will basically never sell. And you know, you don't really care if it's worth like 30% less or 50% less or 100% more. I mean, if you're buying it for the right reasons, and that's the reality, I would say, with most vintage collectors that I work with, they're buying it because they love it, not because they care exactly what it's worth.
Ja, som man säger här, att sitter man då på riktigt hypade modeller och kanske har funderat på att sälja dem, då kanske det är lika bra att ta säljet nu. Det kommer förmodligen inte bli bättre inom det närmaste halvåret. Men har man tänkt behålla sina klockor, då finns det väl ingen anledning att trycka ut dem just nu. Och han tar också upp skillnaden med passion och investerare. Om man äger en klocka på grund av rätt anledning, så spelar kanske en prisuppgång eller nedgång inte så stor roll. Det är inte det som gör anledningen till att man behåller klockan eller inte behåller den. Slutligen så berör Tony från Riskapement att det märks på de olika dealerchatterna att det är en viss oro bland handlarna.
Collector versus from dealer to dealer. I mean, you'd imagine that the you know, the data that's shown isn't necessarily as sketchy as one could imagine, right? Because just looking at some of like the dealer chats, you kind of see a little bit of people running around like their hair is on fire with watches. At some points.
Och detsamma, den här oron tar även Tim Bender upp i sin podcast. Tim som driver Instagram-kontot Fog City, eller sajten Fog City, har en podcast som heter Dialed In, där han har en gäst som beskriver just de här bitarna.
There's so much supply about to come on.
Yeah.
Okay, and when somebody blinks and is like, shit, I've got to get out of not one Daytona. I've got to get out of 5, and I know this guy has to get out of 10, and this guy has to get out of 6, and this guy's got to get out of 20. Who's going to be the first one that starts selling those modern ceramic Daytonas in the mid-20s? Right? Because if there's 1,000 of those for sale, which there probably is, the price is way lower. It's the same as a stock, and that's why I think these are going to crash. Like, if someone's getting out of, you know, whatever, 100,000 shares of Tesla, it's fine. It's going to be at the last price. But if someone's got 20 million for sale, stock might go down 30%.
Yeah.
And it's the same with these watches. There's probably out there, like, I just keep it at a ceramic Daytona blacked out. There's a couple buyers out there, 32,000, 33,000, maybe one or two. Next one might be 29. But, you know, the thousandth is probably about 18,000, which means it's where they go to. And who blinks first? It's not the buyer. The buyers are telling you right now that they are not buyers at these prices.
Många handlare sitter alltså på stora lager. När de väl bestämmer sig för att sälja av, så kommer väldigt mycket klockor komma ut på marknaden. Han fortsätter sedan att diskutera hur oansvarig många dealers har varit. Det är en ung bransch och många har aldrig varit speciellt intresserade av själva klockorna.
Look, those dudes made reckless purchases. Reckless. I told you the dude, like a really, really prominent dealer, but he's only been in the market 10 years. He's never, ever, ever seen a bear market. Yeah. And what happens in bear markets is guys buy crazy shit at crazy prices, and then they sell shit at prices they can't believe. And they still go lower. And I'm just telling you, like, I wish, I hate saying this, for businesses, there's a lot of guys that are going to go away. They just have to. Yeah. There's too many guys did too much stupid shit, and the result is they have to go out of business. Now, some of those dealers are complete assholes because they just gobbled up the market, and they didn't care about watches, the beauty, the art. They were just a bunch of whores trying to make money and squeeze all the retail guys so they pay higher, and they kind of fucked up the beauty of the market. But now there's a price to pay. And look, I think in the next 6 to 8 months, a lot of these big modern dealers won't be around unless they were super, super careful over the last 5 years and were really diligent with their money. But clearly they weren't.
Han tror alltså att många dealers kommer att försvinna från marknaden. Att det kommer att rensas ur bland de som har kanske skött sina affärer på ett bättre sätt eller sämre sätt. Tim fortsätter sen och bryter ner det så att handlare som inte vågar sälja till förlust.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Nu riskerar att hamna i ännu större problem framöver. Här kan man komma ihåg att Tim som själv är en handlare har ganska tydligt deklarerat att han har tagit en del förluster och vill väl på något sätt visa också att det är en del av att vara dealers. Ibland så måste man kunna ta en förlust och ha utrymmet för det. De största köpgrupperna, det här är också intressant, de största köpgrupperna var tidigare spekulanter eller dealers. Spekulanterna, de har ju bränt sig nu. De har försökt investera i klockor och klockor har rasat i pris. Och dealersna, de vill bara komma ur sitt bestånd. Det gör att köpsidan har tunnats ut ordentligt. Den är betydligt mycket tunnare nu än tidigare här under våren.
That's what we're seeing play out in the market, right? Like all of these dealers have no more liquidity. They have all of their money tied up in assets that are completely in the red. And they're not willing to go ahead and take those losses. And it's like, in a sense, it really sucks, but it's like, we need to rip the Band-Aid off. Like we need to get things moving again. And it's just a matter of time. And it's like, the longer this plays out, the worse it's going to get. And then we're going to see a ton of inventory hit the market. And like, I'm not seeing any way that doesn't play out.
Well, here's the thing. The biggest buyer of watches were speculators and retail and watch dealers, okay? Speculators are dead, okay?
And why is that? Let's talk about why that is.
Speculators are now sellers, and dealers are now sellers. So your two biggest buyers are now sellers.
Yeah.
Which means there's no more buyers.
Tim fortsätter att spekulera och fundera lite grann vilken nivå klockorna borde landa på.
Growth stocks, you know, all that shit. If those are down, call it an average of, I don't know, what, 65, 70%, that's probably where watches will start
transacting again. But but this is where there's a scary aspect of that. That's without the supply, right? As soon as all of that supply comes onto market, this is what people don't understand as well. They're not like stocks. They're not just going to go ahead and bounce back. What has to happen is that inventory has to be repurchased. It has to be taken back out of the market in order for that supply and demand to be representative of the market. So, you know, things would transact at, you know, call it 65% of off their highs. So, you know, what's a Daytona? A white ceramic Daytona was 52,000-ish. So that watch probably finds a home today for what, $27,000-$28,000? A white dial, right? And that means that the black dial is probably low 20s. But that's also not accounting for like where people are at right now. Is like there's so many people that are going to prioritize, and this is like where like the summer, this pain that we're going to go through, and this is like something that I called, is like this is the lowest point of our business throughout the
year. Man konstaterar också att nu måste ju alla klockor som kommer ut på marknaden måste hitta ett nytt hem hos den här sista gruppen som eventuellt köper, det vill säga samlarna eller konsumenterna. Tim funderar vidare omkring den omogna marknaden.
A lot of these guys never really had a real job. It was like a quick way to make money, and it's like good on them. It worked out well, but it's like they have no sense of reality in how these things actually work. And just as you're talking about that dealer earlier, there's these guys that have been in the market for 10 years that have just like literally never seen any sort of downturn. They just think that it's all rainbows and unicorns, right? You know, this watch hobby or market over the last couple of years, a lot of these guys don't realize that it used to be the case that you would buy a watch at retail, and the moment it left the AD, it was worth less because it was used. That was normal. It used to be the case that you would get a watch, and it would come to market, and it might be there for a month or 2 months, and you'd go ahead and make an offer, and then the seller would be like, no, I'm not going to take the offer, and then, you know, there'd be back and forth. There was some room for negotiation.
Tidigare var det ju vanligt att klockor inte kostade mer än retail, alltså prislappen i butik, för de klockorna som fortfarande var i produktion. Tim fortsätter spekulera i vad som kommer hända nu. Hur kan vi gissa att marknaden ser ut i den närmsta framtiden?
You know, the forward-looking economic, you know, markets are going to be, you know, the good thing about this is watches and other, you know, assets that are really luxury items. Those are going to be the first ones to also go through this cycle, right? So this is where, you know, liquidity is good. It's good. If you're a watch buyer, like, you're going to get some great deals. They're coming. We have to go through this cycle. It's going to be a very, very painful cycle, but this is just what has to happen, and it's going to happen. I don't see any reason how it's not going to happen, but, you know, we're going to get to a place where, you know, maybe going back to the dynamics of all these dealers or speculators that just don't want to take their losses, they're going to go ahead and chase the market down. They're going to be in a situation where, you know, a ton of supply is going to hit the market. They're going to be looking at, like, you know, I don't know, maybe they're going bankrupt. Maybe they're going out of business. They're going to have to go ahead and take these losses. All of that supply is going to come to the market. And at that point in time, like, it's going to be a buyer's market. This is like the same conversation I keep having with so many of my clients. It's like they can't fathom how, like, you know, they're just not getting the prices that they expected. But the reality is, it's a matter of who's willing to step in and give you cash. And these people are going to be forced to sell at whatever the market is willing to pay.
Och så som han säger så kommer det finnas många fler klockor till försäljning. Och tidigare har vi sagt att det var färre köpare. Så det pekar verkligen åt att priserna kommer vara lägre framöver.
Unfortunately, everyone who's entered this market has seen nothing but rainbows and unicorns for really the past decade. Everything's been moving up. But the reality is, guess what? That market has changed. We're entering a bear market. Like you said, you know, I'm going to leave this to everyone that's out there. Really take stock of what's happening. There's not really any arguments that I've heard that are going to lead this to be a positive outcome. It's an unfortunate thing. I've taken loss. I've advised my clients to take their losses. I've put my money where my mouth is. I've tried to be as honest and transparent with people as possible. The reality is things are going to get a lot more fucked. There's going to be a ton of supply that's coming to market. When that happens, And I don't know what that event is going to be that's going to lead that to happen, but certainly time is going to put that pressure on, if anything. But when that happens, these prices are going to move lower. There's going to be no buyers, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse. It's an unfortunate reality, but that's how financial markets work, and we're seeing that play out. So,
och han konstaterar också att den nya marknaden är en bear market. Alltså det, vi ser framför oss en dyster framtidsgissning från Tim här. I ett annat avsnitt från Tims podcast Dialed In träffar han en annan gäst som jobbar inom finansmarknaden. Och han jämför finansmarknaden med klockmarknaden. Vi lyssnar.
And so like one thing I would say on the side of this, and you come across a lot of guys who own like, you know, 6, 7, 8, maybe 10, maybe even 12 watches. They might have like 200 grand in watches, but they're renting, right? Or they live with their parents. And like that's something that I would recommend that they don't do, because you can't really get the leverage. Like a bank's not going to lend you money against the asset, against your watch, right? So I would always say, like, if you're a young guy, if you're in your late 20s, if you're in your 30s or even your 40s, if you have an opportunity, if you have all this cash, I would say, like, sell your collection, maybe keep two or three watches and buy a piece of real estate that's going to let you build a bigger collection down the road. That's a really important piece of advice. I would say don't be that guy who's renting a condo or an apartment but has, like, $2,000 in watches. Like, I'll just say that, but that's just my own opinion.
Vi börjar med ett bra råd. Först bostad, sen klocksamling. Nu ska vi lyssna på klockmarknaden satt i ett makroekonomiskt perspektiv.
Yeah, and I'll tie that into watches, right? Like,
yeah,
watches
tie that into watches.
A speculative asset class, right? Like, I generally think the watch industry will stay resilient. Like, it's a luxury market. Luxury tends to hold up. Like, since from an economic standpoint, these buyers aren't really that impacted by a recession, right? Like, obviously, there's a lot of fear out there from a wealth perspective. People look at their investment accounts being down. They see mortgage rates going up and inflation running hot. And then, like, you know, I think that's what's driving a lot of the watch, you know, the sell-off in the watch space, right? People are just hesitant to spend just out of fear of uncertainty, right? And then, just as an asset class, like, just speaking just... Like fundamentally, or just watches, they're speculative. Speculative assets, they don't generate cash flow, right? If an asset doesn't generate cash flow, there's no intrinsic value. So we don't really know what the value of a watch is, right? So it's like, but they are hard assets. They can't produce a ton of these, right? Like, especially vintage, you can't produce any new vintage pieces. There's only a finite amount left in the world. So I think that's going to continue to support the market overall. But in general, like, to say where the bottom is in watches, like, I take a 166-10, for example, that was trading at like full set, was probably trading at like 13, like maybe 13.5 at the peak. And now you get them for like 10, you know, 10.5 full set. That's pretty significant downside, right? So do they go to 9? I doubt it. I don't know. I think everyone's going to be buying them up at 9. So like that's going to be the floor, right? So my point is, I think the watch market has seen a pretty big sell off. Call it 20%, like easy, suffice to say. I'm not talking about the gold Daytonas or like all the stuff that like the 57, 11s and 12s, that stuff that took massive hits because they were like, you know, the prices went significantly like insane. But just broadly speaking, I think, you know, 20% sell-off, it's safe to say across the board. But I think, you know, I can't see another 15% sell-off. I can't see 20. So I think like you're getting to levels where like, hey, look, I'll give you an example. I have friends that aren't in the watch industry, and they've been telling me for years, Don, like, these prices are crazy. When can I buy a watch? When can I buy a watch? And I've been telling these guys, look, guys, if you're not buying a watch right now, today, fuck it. You're never going to buy a watch. Listen to me. Like, just don't waste my time in the future. If you're not going to buy a watch right now, you're never going to buy one.
Även han lyfter fram vintage som en tryggare investering eftersom de inte produceras. Han tror inte heller att marknaden kommer falla så mycket mer. En aning kanske, men inte så mycket. Det är skillnad med de superhypade modellerna som Nautilus 5711 och sådana. Han ger rådet att det är faktiskt köpläge om man är intresserad av att köpa sin klocka just nu. Vi lyssnar vidare och Tim lyfter fram att det är sunt för branschen det som händer. Att bli av med det som han kallar för COVID backpackers dealers. Han talar också om att tillgången ska matcha efterfrågan från konsumenter eller end user istället för att det ska drivas av spekulation.
Those people are just no longer going to be in the market, but that's also like it's a healthy thing though, right? It's all of those people who entered the market, and I'm going to call them speculators. I don't know what we call them, dealers, crypto, or, you know, what do they call them, like COVID backpack dealers. Like, a lot of those guys, they were responsible for how fast the market got like, how fast it ran up, sure. Right? But, like, we need to strip all that shit back out, and it needs to go to the market and to people who are actually consuming those goods. And right now, the market's saying we're not willing to pay these prices. So, like, we need to get to a place where it's, like, that demand is really representative of, like, what the you know, the end user is for those pieces. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I think, like, I don't see on the modern pieces as quick of a recovery, but, like, you know, to your point, scarce good examples of things that are out of production and have been out of production for 20 years. Like, if there's a very strong watch market, like, yes, people are going to go ahead and buy up those assets. And it's much easier because the end user of those is a watch person. They're people that, you know, have money that appreciate these watches. So, you know, I would love for it to be shorter lived than it seems like it's been. You know, this is like an interesting dynamic that, like, you know, it's just interesting to highlight that further, like, strengthens the case of, you know, just how much people are, like, are truly watch people. But, you know, surprisingly, there hasn't been a ton of end users selling, right? For, like, how fearful it seems to be in the market. It's not like I have, you know, hundreds of people a week that are reaching out to me saying, like, I have to sell this watch, exactly. Right? So we're not seeing that yet.
Konstatera att det inte är jättemånga end users som säljer just nu. Slutligen ska vi tjuvlyssna lite grann på ett avsnitt som jag spelat in med Francesco. Francesco är en internationell klockhandlare som har jobbat med det här i många, många år, i flera generationer faktiskt. Och jag gjorde en intervju med honom tidigare i veckan. Vi kommer att sända hela det avsnittet lite senare, men vi plockar lite saker när han beskriver hur andrahandshandeln med klockor fungerar.
So the market was growing like every week, every month, but by thousands of euros.
Yeah.
Like, let's say, like, for example, a watch you were buying for 18,000 a week before, a week later you were buying for 19.
Yeah.
That's something you cannot keep going.
No.
I mean, something that stops because
it has to stop somewhere.
You cannot grow like that exponentially.
No.
So that was something that was gonna happen, it's gonna finished.
Francesco beskriver hur marknaden började skena här tidigt i år och slutet på förra året. Hans tankar om att covid påverkar klockornas priser. Det drev upp värdet. Klockproduktionen var stoppad hos klocktillverkarna. Och färre klockor och mer pengar hos konsumenterna.
I think the prices are gonna go up again, but slowly. Mm. Like it was before, like inflation. They're just slowly going up. I think one of the reasons they went so up, it was because of the COVID.
Interesting.
That's my personal opinion, but I think many people were, you know, they could not travel, they could not do a lot of things, so a lot of people start to, you know, save money.
Mm.
And I think a lot of people were looking for something to invest their money, just to invest in something, so they decide to move to watches. That's the reason why, and because of COVID, most of the market were closed. Like Rolex, or all the brands stopped the production.
Right.
So lesser product means with higher demand means that the prices go up. Mm. That's why now that hopefully nearly to the end of the COVID pandemic, people are looking at different things to invest. So it means less demand. So that and more offer, because there's a lot of watches on the market, it means that the prices go down. That's basic market. But
jag frågar honom om beteendemönstret skiljer sig mellan klocksamlare och investerare.
Watch enthusiast.
Yeah, I think that most of these new investor, they just got a bit greedy. So they decided to most of the people start doing that like a second business, like just like that. So by doing that, they inflated the market. But
right,
because as I said, most of the market were closed. You could not travel, so it was a local market. So just just a fewer, less product to sell.
Right.
So, and now that people is free to move again, you can get you know, watches from different countries, from different markets.
Mm.
These people can no longer do that because the prices drop.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the problem of the of the. I mean, nowadays I think nine people out of ten are more likely to be investor without even knowing what they're buying, rather than watch enthusiasts.
Yeah.
So that's the problem.
Mm.
Som slutsats på den här sammanfattningen av marknadsläget så skulle vi kunna säga att marknadsläget som var slutet på förra året och i början på det här året med färre klockor, mer kapital skapade en osund hets där många investerare blev giriga och drev upp priserna ännu mer. De så kallade COVID backpack dealers, jag gillar det ordet. Allt vände i och med att produktionen av nya klockor tog fart och just nu är som sagt på en historiskt hög nivå. Kapital blir dyrare, räntorna börjar gå upp och många dealers eller investerare måste komma ur sina klockinvesteringar, vilket gör att det kommer ytterligare mer klockor ut på marknaden. Och det här kommer såklart att trycka ner priserna ännu mer. Mycket av det här har handlat om nya klockor. För min privata spekulation, det är ju att som investerare eller som handlare så har det varit lättare att hantera nya klockor. Det är inte så mycket risk, du behöver inte ha så mycket kunskap. Vintage däremot kräver att du både kan se igenom när saker inte är rätt och att du kan dina klockor på ett helt annat sätt. Därmed så har ju också vintage både missat den här hysteriska uppgången men kanske också sluppit det här ganska djupa raset. Alla de här råden eller åsikterna får vi såklart ta med lite nypa salt. Alla de här podcasterna spelas in av handlare med folk som har egen har fingrarna in i syltburken på olika sätt och pratar egen sak såklart. Även jag kanske gör det. Jag tycker om vintage väldigt mycket. Och jag lyfter gärna fram att det är det positiva i situationen. Men alla ni som lyssnar får såklart dra er egen slutsats. Och kom gärna med frågor, inspel, undringar. Använd vårt Instagramkonto eller via mail eller andra sätt. Ta kontakt med oss. Det är alltid intressant och roligt att diskutera vidare. Stort tack för idag. Vi stänger boken och lyssnar vidare framöver och ser hur det går med alla våra klockor. Hej då!
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.